This is another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast featuring inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and as the host for The More Abundant Life today, it's my privilege to welcome you. I do hope that you will stay tuned. Our program is a full one today, and so we're going to get right to what we have to present for you. The title of today's message, God's Cure for Hard Hearts. And before the message, we've got a song, a special song by Wintley Phipps, performed by Wintley Phipps. It's a song entitled Heal Our Land, written by Senator Orrin Hatch and Janice Cap Perry. Stay with us for our program. The message will begin right after this special number.
Heal our land. Please grant us peace today and strengthen all who lack the faith to call on Thee each day. Heal our land and keep us safe and free. Watch over all who understand the need for liberty. Heal our land, heal our land, and guide us with thy hand. Keep us ever on the path of liberty. Heal our land, heal our land, and help us understand that we must put our trust in Thee. If we would be free. Heal our land. Please help us find our way, for in Thy word we find our strength if we look up each day. Heal our land and fill us with Thy love. Keep us upon the path of truth that comes from heaven above. Heal our land, heal our land, and guide us with Thy hand. Keep us ever on the path of liberty. Heal our land, heal our land, and help us understand that we must put our trust in Thee if we would be free. Protect us by the power of Thy rod, and keep us as one nation under God. Heal our land, heal our land, and guide us with Thy hand. Keep us ever on the path of liberty. Heal our land, heal our land, and help us understand that we must put our trust in Thee. If we would be free.
The Sea of Galilee, well known for its sudden and unexpected storms, was unusually tranquil this day. Standing on its shores in quiet solitude was the master of sea and sky. Our Lord stood there in quiet devotion, giving praise to the Father. A large crowd began to gather, hoping to hear an inspired word from his treasure chest of wonderful teachings. For the witness was, never a man spake like this man. The people found his doctrines profound and yet unusually simple. They found what he had to say clear and uniquely compelling. They found that his every word seemed weighted with heaven's favor. They saw that every glance of his eyes was attended by grace and power. The word went forth, just look at his eyes and you'll be changed. Just look at his eyes. The testimony of many was that when he touched you, when he laid his hands on you, he became a voltage transformer, reducing the raw healing power of heaven to a level where you could get just what you needed individually for your situation. What a God. This day, as Christ surveyed the crowd before him, he saw the sick lying on their mats of straw. The feeble were there, eager to present their cases before him. Many had come from miles around hoping to be healed, and as they listened, they waited patiently for the moment when Jesus would transition from his healing ministry to his teaching ministry. And with eyes ablaze with love and words that carried with them the authority of heaven, Jesus rebuked their diseases. With a word, he lifted the destitute, cheered the brokenhearted. With each passing day, the crowds grew larger, more hopeful, more confident in his power. This particular day, they began to press in so close that there was no room to receive the multitudes. And so he called the fishermen to his side and spoke in their ears a quiet directive. When Jesus whispered a command, it was a directive. They waded out into the tranquil waters, brought in as close as they could a boat that was waiting to take him to the other side of the lake. Jesus stepped into the boat. Those big, strong fishermen pushed off a little ways from the shore. And as that little boat began rocking to the rhythm of the waves, Jesus transformed that little boat into a floating pulpit. That day, that little boat became a hospital ship for sin-sick souls. That day, from that pulpit, that platform, Jesus used it to draw drowning men to his side. And that morning, as he often did, Jesus took his text from nature. And I want you to go with me to our scripture this morning, found in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. God's cure for hard hearts. What book did I say? Matthew, chapter 13. And look at verse 1. The Bible says, the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and immediately they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some what? 30-fold. Praise God for his word. This parable of the sower and the seed, Jesus explained it this way. I am the sower. The seed is the word of God. You know, it's amazing how when you take a tiny seed in your hand, It may seem dry and dead. You ever did that experiment where they let you just drop a seed in a glass of water? It's amazing. If you want to see the power that is in a seed, take the world's most expensive diamond or the world's most celebrated ruby, plant them together in the ground. After some time, you'll find that the diamond will remain a diamond. But that little seed, before long, it begins to yawn. Are you listening to me? It throws off its husky shell, that tiny seed, as though it awakens from a long night of sleep. And it bursts forth from its shell. Before long, that tiny little seed rises from the ground as a giant oak tree or a beautiful flower. It rises in power. It rises in freedom. Jesus said, the Son of Man is the sower. Woo, are you here today? About Millet's portrait of the sower, one great writer wrote this, and I love this. Night approaches, unfurling its gray veil over the brown earth. He's painting a picture of the work of the sower. The sower, covered with dingy rags, a shapeless cap on his head, goes forth with rhythmic steps, scattering the grain in the furrows, followed by a flight of greedy birds. Although he is bony, emaciated and thin, under his livery, that means his work, of misery, life flows from the sower's generous hand. With a superb gesture, he who has nothing scatters far and wide the bread of the future. That's the work I do, said Jesus. I'm the sower. No place to lay my head, but I'm the sower. Sometimes that seed is dropped by the Lord from a printed page. Some of you are in the church today not because someone came to see you, but because you read it in the Word of God yourself. That the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And you went looking for a church. Sometimes that seed is dropped from a life that is well lived. You are convicted by that person who lives next door, who just walks the walk, talks the talk. Sometimes that tiny seed falls into the fissure of an inquisitive, inquiring mind. You don't know what prompted you, but you saw that billboard or you saw that flyer and you wanted to check it out. Not everybody does that. But some people do that. Sometimes it falls into the crack of a curious heart and it germinates. Sometimes through seasons and winters of discontent. People who should be walking with God are sometimes just so discouraged. It is a winter of discontent. But all along they don't realize that God planted a seed and it's growing. Well, today I've come to register with you a deep concern. And that is, I see in the church today that we have an epidemic of Christians with hard hearts. Hard hearts. Their hearts are no longer tender to the pleadings of Christ. Just because you accept the truth you want to accept doesn't mean your heart is tender. It's when you accept the truths that you don't want to accept. We have an epidemic of people in the church with hard hearts that need healing. Here God says that we need healing. And how do you know some people who have hard hearts? When you just can't get along with the people around you. Something's wrong with your heart. It doesn't take much to get along with some people. Just be nice and sweet and tender. When God's word is ignored, you got a hard heart. When you don't pray prayers of gratitude on a regular basis, your heart is hard. When you don't like going to church, you got a hard heart. There are some people who go when they feel like it. When you have a heart that is tender towards the Lord, you can't wait to get there. When you're able, listen to me carefully, when you're able to sin and never feel the need to confess your sin, you've got a hard heart. When service to Christ wanes, I don't want to be a deacon anymore. I don't like ushering anymore. I don't want to be a deaconess. Let somebody else do that. I'm going to take a vacation. When you're no longer concerned for those who are lost, God promises that he's got a cure for hard hearts. Amen. One day God said to Solomon, I heard your prayer. And you can find out if you have your Bibles. Turn with me to the second book of Chronicles, chapter 7. Second book of Chronicles, chapter 7. God's cure for hard hearts. I said God's cure for hard hearts. God said to Solomon, I heard your prayers. I accept this temple that you've built. And then God says in chapter 7, verse 13, listen to what God says. Whenever I hold back the rain, in other words, do you know when your heart gets hard, sometimes God will withhold blessings from you to get your attention. He will withhold the rain from falling and nourishing your life. God said to Solomon, whenever I hold back the rain, and now he's talking to people who's just done his will now. Are you with me today? God is talking to someone who has just built him a temple. He's talking to his people. And he says, there will come a time in your life when I will hold back the rain. I will let locusts eat your harvest. You are my child, but there is coming a time in your life when I will let locusts eat what you have stored. And I will let sickness, Lord Jesus, come on my people to discipline them. This is the word of God. But then he says in verse 17, God says the cure for hard hearts. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. I like that. God says, do what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God has made clear he's got a prescription for hard hearts. If my people will only do what? Humble themselves, do what? Seek God's face. That means to seek God's favor. Amen. To seek God's face, that's what it means. It means that you are just about seeking the favor of God upon everything you do. Seeking the face of God means to do what? To seek the favor of God. Seeking the face of God means to do what? To seek the favor of God. And then God says, seek my face, and then do what? Turn from their wicked ways. That means you got to do two things. You got to admit your sin, and you got to abandon your sin. Then God says, I the Lord will hear from heaven, heal their land. If my people are willing to pay the price of prayer, that means you got to humble yourself. You know, God does not accept proud prayers. If you want your prayer to be heard in heaven, you've got to humble yourself. Lord, how are you today? No. You got to what? Humble yourself. If you're willing to remember the purpose of prayer, that is to seek God's face, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Church, when we meet God's conditions, God has promised healing. He has promised healing. Now, we've come through one of the most bruising and divisive elections in our nation's history. And if ever there was a time since the Civil War and since the Civil Rights period that this country needed healing, it needs it now. The word heal, Rotha, means to mend, to repair, to make whole. Our land needs healing today. We've got homes in the church that need healing today. We have churches, we've got whole churches that need healing. You don't understand. You don't understand what it's like for members to look at each other in church and say to each other, if you want to rumble, I'll rumble. Sometimes members feel like that and say those things. So you're acting like you don't know what I'm talking about this morning. But we try to change our own hearts, but it often doesn't work. We get sidetracked. It reminds me of a man who bought a new hunting dog. Eager to see how the dog would perform, he took him out to track a bear. No sooner had they gotten into the woods, the dog picked up the trail of a bear, and suddenly he stopped, sniffed the ground, headed in a new direction, because he had caught the scent of a deer. All right. And then he crossed the bear's path. A few moments later, he stopped. This time, he smelled a rabbit that had crossed the path of the deer, and on he went in another direction until that hunter was all breathless. Caught up with the dog to find it, he's barking down the hole of a mouse. Sometimes we as Christians are like that. We start out with high resolve. It's New Year, I'm going to be a different person. And before long, you get diverted, you get sidetracked, and you're the same old person that you were coming out of the old year. We need healing. Billy Graham said in an address to Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary some years ago. Listen to what he said. We've lost sight of the fact that some things are always right, some things are always wrong. We've lost our reference point. We don't have any moral philosophy to undergird our way of life in this country. And our way of life is in serious jeopardy and serious danger unless something happens, and that something must be spiritual healing. Our nation is on a downward spiral. It is on a downward spiral. You know, brothers and sisters, we have no idea of the depths of wickedness that men sink to every day in this country. Some think the solution to our problems is getting the right political party in. Some think it's getting the right political leader, but God makes it clear. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall only do what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. One of the signs of the stony hearts in our society today is how violence is accepted in our society. I want you to know the thing that I am literally, I got to tell you, I am shaken by how violent Christians really are inside and what they're capable of condoning and blessing. I remember reading once a quote that said, Lord, save me from the hands of an angry Christian. the things they will do to you in the name of Jesus. We have one of the other consequences of hard hearts. We have marriages that are falling apart all around us. Now listen to what counselors say who have talked to people who have been married a second time. And you get more and more of that, right? He said, this person said, the most typical comment, said this counselor, is someone saying, if I'd known then what I know now, I would have worked harder to keep my first marriage going. When our marriage is under pressure, we are apt to see everything that's wrong, everything that's a problem, except our own hearts, our own behavior. One New York therapist did something trying to help people to see themselves. He actually videotaped the sessions that he had with the couples. And he would play them back the sessions. The results were remarkable. Husbands and wives saw themselves on the screen as exactly they were, the way they were, their body language, their head rocking, their intonation, their gestures. The tapes were so revealing that many couples began to resolve their disputes right after they looked at the tape. People need to change their hearts. You don't change your marriage partner, you change your heart. If you have your Bibles, I want you to take a look in the book of Ezekiel today. Thank God for his holy word. Thank you. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Praise God today. Verse 26. Here's God's promise. A new heart also will I give you. And a new what? Spirit will I put within you. And I, the Lord, will take away the what? Stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of what? A heart of what? Flesh. God will give your heart a miracle today. God wants you to have a new heart for a new year. He wants to cure the hard heart that is in you.
That brings us to the end of the program for today. If you would like to get some more information about today's message, please call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. Today's program is number 202. That's all for today, and I do hope that you'll join us again for another program. Until then, though, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.